Welcome to Beyond the Sermon podcast by Light in the Desert Church, where we seek to move Sunday to every day.
Hello, everyone. I am Brian Geary, lead pastor here at Light in the Desert Church. Thanks for joining us here on Beyond the Sermon podcast. I'm joined today by the infamous Freeman Pruitt. Hello, Freeman.
Hello.
How are you?
Hello, infamous. I love that infamous.
Everybody knows Freeman.
Yeah.
This is a dear brother. Actually, you're one of the first people that I would have met here, because when I was interviewing, for Lorna and I came and interviewed for the job, you were in that search committee.
Yes.
And it was a glorious day, right?
It was a very glorious day, yes.
I have to say, and I've told you this a number of times, Lauren and I walked away from that thankful that you were in the room, because you put us at ease. And that was...
I did?
Yeah, you did, because with your laughter and humor.
Yeah, Priscilla's kind of stern.
Priscilla, if you're listening, I did not like that. This brother is so dear to me. So Freeman, you have attended Light in the Desert long before I got here. So how long have you been coming to Light in the Desert?
I looked at that question since about 2014, I think.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
So been coming for a while. And since, obviously, I've been here for 3 years now. And since I've been here, you and I have worked closely together in the leadership team. We kind of moved the deacons into that leadership team. So if you don't know this, Freeman has been a huge, significant part of all the big changes that we've had around here, which has been a joy of mine to work alongside him in that. But so how's it been serving on the leadership team? There's been a lot of transitions, really, here at Light in the Desert Church. How's that been for you?
The words I look for in that is tough and interesting. And bless his heart, Jack has been the leader. And But we've tried to do the right thing. I think that was probably utmost on our hearts. It's always been. It's just to do the right thing and the decisions that we make.
Yeah.
That, you know, that God's glory is the first and foremost in our minds for what we do.
Yeah.
At least that's, you know, that's the mentorship of Jack.
He's a good brother.
Yes,
and
he
I
is.
I can fully affirm that's been one of the big joys, is that as we come around a tough issue, we all quickly do one of two things. Let's pray, or is there any relevant scripture that'll guide us?
Yes.
And that's been a huge joy to watch us grapple with God's word in light of, you know, big changes that we knew would be hard and difficult, but we felt really encouraged by it.
Yeah, I think the difficult and tough part of this is to be transparent with everything that we do, because you have to be.
Yeah. Even though God has put us in this unique role, like we're the body of Christ.
Yes.
And what we do is significant. Well, it's been a joy of mine, so I have been grateful for that time. And the Lord has used that team to encourage me, grow me, but he's used us to hopefully move towards being more healthy. Now, one of the things, if you do know Freeman, one of the best parts of Freeman, that he's married to the spunky Linda.
The best part of me.
Which, by the way, we all love her because she keeps you in line. Since she can't be here to defend herself, I'll do it. So she is awesome. But with all that said, there's been so much craziness. How are you and Linda doing? How have you guys handled?
We are doing well. We're very... And she points us out a lot. We're very blessed.
Yeah.
Very.
Yeah.
You know, we're both retired, so going through the COVID-19 pandemic, there wasn't that big a change for us.
Yeah.
We're home.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So, and we just got the new house, so everything, we were still working on that. So, no, we're doing very well, as opposed to others who still have to work out in that environment.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Yeah, and I think, like, in difficulty in a worldwide pandemic, it really does cause us to reflect on the things that we're so grateful for. You know, I think during this time and even what we went through last week, gratefulness has come back so often, you know, and these things have a way of really helping us evaluate what's good and what the Lord has done for us, you know. Well, on to the reason that you and I are gathered here in my office chatting is Beyond the Sermon podcast. One of our big convictions around here is to take what happens on Sunday morning and let it continue to have an impact in our lives throughout the week. You know, so much happens on a Sunday morning if the word is rightly divided, faithfully preached. We trust and we hope and we pray that a lot of things happen, whether through conviction, whether the Lord comforts us, whether he calls us to deeper levels of trust and faith. So much happens on that Sunday, but we know the tendency is oftentimes to just walk away from it and forget. So this podcast is a desire to try to capitalize on those convictions, try to take the understandings that someone might gain, and even address maybe some of the tougher questions from the text and keep pushing it into our week. And so that's kind of our desire here. So our aim with this time is to further make applications from the clear implications of the text. Now, we all would agree the sermon should do that. Of course it should. But it doesn't mean that we need to acknowledge we have the habit of forgetting so easily. Mm-hmm. And so this is just to revisit those truths, revisit where God stirred our hearts at particular times, and to work on letting it speak to us throughout the week, which kind of brings me to a particular question. We think about the sermon. We think about the preaching event. Freeman, let me ask you, we talk a lot about the delivery, about the pastor's ability, which we should, right? He needs to be studied. He needs to be prayerful. He needs to be able to communicate God's word. So we should talk about that. But what about being a listener to a sermon? I suspect you have listened to quite a few sermons in your life. Not that you're very old, but let's just say you've listened to a lot of sermons in your life, which you have. What's kind of been your experiences? What advice would you give someone? How should someone listen to a sermon?
Listen? Actually listen.
Yeah, okay. That's good advice.
Well, that's my reference, of course, is me.
Okay.
So sometimes you go off in a daydream state or you're thinking about something else. Well, the pastor drones on.
Wait a minute. If you could see Freeman look at me when he says that.
But the thing of it is actually listen. And I myself, because I work back on the display or the...
back in the sound booth area.
Sound booth area. Yeah. But you always... To follow you with the slides that you need, I have the luxury and the blessing of actually reading what you wrote out ahead of time for your sermon.
Right.
And I've learned a lot from that.
That's good.
It is what it is. I have to have it in order to follow your slides.
Right.
But I've noticed that I've taken notes, I listen, I write comments on what you said, and that has been a big blessing. I wished everybody could do that in the audience.
Right.
You know, you have that and you can read along, but I have to when I'm back there, so I can't
so
miss
forcing
it.
You.
Forcing. But I think, actually, listen, because I thought about that this time with the guest speaker.
Dr. Arnold.
I've always, in the past, I've always taken notes in my Bible when I'm following along with the pastor, because I read, that's another thing, you read more while he's droning on, you read
more. Stop looking at me. That's good.
But if you take notes in the Bible, and when you go back at later times and you read that, you look at the note and it reminds you of what you should have been applying, what you should have been thinking about. So like with this past one, I actually listened. Well, because the topic is the big kahuna.
Yes, the big one.
Of Christians, of people in general, but of Christians even.
Right.
This problem with money.
Yeah, yeah.
So I really paid attention, and so.
That's good.
But that's, you know, the topics and stuff like that. Yeah. That's a big deal.
Yeah. And that's good. And I think what's real helpful are principles that kind of come together, you know, the note, like engaging in the message in multiple ways. Now, you have the luxury of having the kind of sermon notes,
yes,
you're reading, you're doing that, but let's say someone in the crowd, they're still taking notes, engaging, you know, and we could probably even get better. We try to let people know what series we're in, what the next section of scriptures we're looking at, so you could read even ahead of time, just being prepped and ready. And if we think it's valuable, you know, we could always add the notes to the messages on the webpage. So might be something that if enough people think it's valuable, we could do
that. It'd be extra work for you to try and make just a little simple outline for people to look at, but who knows?
Yeah.
I just know what occurs back there because I'm looking at your your sermon,
mm-hmm,
and it's, I've been blessed by it.
Yeah. And maybe just the point being, engaging with the text in multiple ways. Listening to a sermon, I'm writing notes. Maybe midweek I go back to my notes, I go back to that text, I'm rereading it, even maybe re-listen, you know, whatever. Just trying to engage in it in multiple ways.
Yes.
Man, and I think, like, knowing coming into Sunday what the topic was sometimes does perk interest. And so we could probably get a little better about putting that stuff out ahead of time, just so that people are, you know, their interest is piqued as they come to the room, prayed up and ready to listen. But that's helpful. But as you mentioned, we had an incredible privilege of having Dr. Brian Arnold not yesterday, it's Tuesday today, on Sunday, to summarize Proverbs teaching on a difficult issue.
Oh, my goodness.
Wealth and poverty, which was a big task on his part, which kind of just, we're going to be transitioning the series towards more of these big, difficult topics that Proverbs deals with, because the beauty of Proverbs, which he warned us, is it'll speak to the issue from multiple angles, and we have a tendency to grabbing the one we agree with the most and championing that one, but yet missing the other side where we might actually even be sinful on. And so he did a great job of looking at the large teaching of wealth and poverty. And so if you've spent any amount of time with Freeman, you know that this brother is a hard worker, successful, and incredibly generous. So when I thought about doing a podcast, particularly on this one, because I thought it'd be wise, Freeman was the first person that came to mind, because he's someone who is modeled for me hard work, thoughtfulness, generosity, who uses what the Lord has given him to honor the Lord. So I'm really grateful to have this conversation with you, brother, because you've encouraged me in a lot of ways. But let me give a quick summary of the long sentence. If you were there, and even Dr. Arnold kind of chuckled about it, he gave us a long summary sentence with a lot of W's in them. But I encourage, if you haven't listened to that message, definitely go back. It's well worth it.
Yes.
But here's what this long sentence that he used to conclude. Wisdom is superior to wealth. So each of these have various points. So there's the first one. Wisdom is superior to wealth, but wisdom often leads to wealth through hard work. Proverbs speaks a lot about hard work. Comma, next point. Even though wealth is ultimately worthless. Can't take it with us. He made that point over and over again. But he did clarify, because Proverbs does, it ultimately is worthless except for the welfare of others, meaning generosity. And he concluded, all of Scripture's conclusion, that in all of that, our supreme wealth is Jesus.
Yes.
So is this a beautiful, though it's long, each of these have various points. So Freeman, with that, let's just start with the big 30,000-foot view. What stood out most from you from Sunday that maybe you're still queuing on a little bit?
The fact that a lot of Proverbs, and most of it, is not promises. It's principles.
Yeah, good.
You know, that's something I've learned that I didn't really look at it that way, but these are principles. These are things that are guiding us, actually showing us humankind, and what's developed between us and how we are with God and each other.
Yeah.
So they're principles.
Yeah.
They're not necessarily a promise from Him.
Yeah.
some of the things are, when you gave me some scripture to read, there's some in there that seem like they're promises. You know, this, if you do this, this will occur.
Yeah, right.
But not necessarily. Yeah. I don't, because Christians have mistakenly viewed it that way,
yeah.
And that's not the way it works at all.
Which is a particular danger here when we think of wealth. Well, I do all this stuff, I should get all this wealth. And thinking that it's going to apply in your life. And even some of the examples he gave Sunday is like, well, someone, you know, they fall into wealth because their parents gave it to them.
Right.
They get a massive inheritance, you know. Or someone falls into poverty because of unforeseen circumstances that they couldn't control. So we need to look at these. Generally speaking, if you would follow these principles, biblical, godly principles, mm-hmm. Yeah, you might end up there. But it's wise to check that desire at the door when we come to Proverbs. These are principles, so therefore it's wise for me to follow them, but it can't guarantee that I'm going to have a six-figure bank account. Like, that's not the point of them, you know?
And there's a lot of people that feed on that that misconception, especially within those who name the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
And those people are, what do they call them? The wealth preachers?
Oh, health and wealth, yeah. Right.
I could try to name them, but I can't right at the moment.
which maybe is wise on our part.
We ought to, because they're going to have to give an account for what they do to people.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Yes. No, you're right, because if we think of some of the things we would like to do within a podcast like this is talk about the potential dangers and difficulties.
Very dangerous.
And when someone thinks that I follow this principle and, you know, I did my part, God, you didn't come through because this unforeseen circumstance wiped out my wealth, then all of a sudden you just get angry and mad at God. And you miss that Proverbs speaks to all of it in terms of righteousness being the ultimate goal. Because we could have a tendency to see someone in poverty and and start to just make assumptions about them that may not be true.
Exactly.
And you can find a proverb to say, oh, you're lazy. Well, maybe, but we don't know that, you know?
No.
if we're not being a people that Proverbs even calls us to think about others, think about those that are needy, and really begin to learn them. Which brings us to a really good point that I'd like for us to camp out a little bit, because I love how Dr. Arnold said, in the end, wealth is ultimately worthless. And we know that, right? The point being, we can't take it with us. We totally get that. But he clarified it because Proverbs does. It does have a worth here on earth, and that is in generosity. So when we think about generosity, that is seemingly to be the intent of our wealth, is to be a generous people. And so if you know Freeman, you're listening to this, the moment I think of generosity, brother, you come to my mind. And so even as Dr. Arnold was pressing into us about the generosity, the giving, all I could think of is how generous you have been, not only to my family, but as I've watched you with other people. So when I think about that piece of Proverbs, you modeled to me that really well. Because think about the significant reality. Our wealth, though worthless in the end, it only becomes valuable in and of the sense we now can use it to be generous, to spread the gospel, these types of things where we're giving it away, where it's having impact. And I love the analogy he used, right? Like stagnant water as opposed to a river that's flowing.
Right.
Stagnant water, water that is life-giving. Stagnant doesn't move. It becomes rancid. It becomes now a danger to you. Whereas if it's always flowing, well, now it's life-giving again.
Yep.
So when I think about generosity and that significant reality and knowing that you do it so well, talk about your journey maybe a little bit with generosity. Has that just been kind of a part of who you are, or have you grown in that? I mean,
no.
How do you think about that? How do you think of, because, brother, you're successful. You have worked hard. And what, 44, 46 years?
44.
44 years working hard in the railroad industry, managed money well, and now...
No, did not manage money well.
Well, somebody around you did.
Lori tried her best with me.
Yeah, yeah. Because there's also a flip side with generosity, right? In terms of there can be a danger of giving it all away. So how have you navigated that generosity over the years?
Basically, muddled through.
Mm-hmm.
It's muddling. Not until the later years, just before Lori passed, did I start understanding, her and I both, mm-hmm. understanding that we got to get control. We didn't always handle money. I was probably the worst. But we got in. I was listening to KTR, and there's a guy named your boy from Tennessee.
Dave Ramsey?
Dave Ramsey. Mm-hmm. And the thing about Dave Ramsey and his thing is he talks about Jesus, but the point was you honor what you have. You honor Jesus with what you have. You that's your point. You don't, and you get, and you, so if you're going to handle your money, you're going to handle your money because you want him to be glorified. You want him to be honored. As I've learned, you want to bless him by blessing others.
Yeah.
So you got to take care of your money. It's not going to happen just by happenstance.
Right.
You got to work at it.
Yeah.
You got to handle it wisely.
Yeah.
And didn't really learn that until just before she passed.
Yeah.
And we were starting the Dave Ramsey program.
Mm-hmm.
And we did fairly well, and then Lori passed.
Mm.
Well, since then, that's when I've really learned more about generosity.
Yeah.
And that there's more to life than just getting the things and the stuff.
Mm.
But you take care of your neighbor, you take care of your brethren in Christ. It's not supernatural. There's no big testimony here.
Right, right.
Because that's not the way it works. It just doesn't.
Yeah.
You take care of your money. You give, as Paul, I was reading in Corinthians, you give according to what you have.
Yeah,
and you be ready and eager because this, you know, honors him. It blesses him.
Yeah.
That's why you do it. And you bless the others because that's how you bless him.
Yeah.
That's how it works. The commandments say it all.
Right.
Him first, then your neighbor.
Right.
You're last.
So you would say, there was a time in life where you didn't manage money.
No. You know, it's shameful almost how I did things.
Yeah.
Or especially me, but Lori and I both, we didn't handle it well.
Yeah.
We learned. We weren't totally corrupt with how we handled it, but the point is we didn't handle it like we should have.
Mm-hmm. So then,
but God blessed us anyway.
Yeah, right. Despite ourselves, right?
Despite, because the idea is like you want to please him. That's what you're striving for, but you get stupid, you become a knucklehead, and you forget about the true purpose of your walk.
Yeah.
I don't know how people outside of Jesus handle things. I mean, you know, there's a lot of rich.
Mm, yeah.
There's all that out there.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the difference is those of us who name the name of Jesus are better off than they are.
Yeah.
Because we've got somewhere to go.
Yeah.
We're not going to face the big kahuna of all ugliness.
Praise the Lord for that.
Yes.
So would you say then the tipping point in really shifting to manage well, getting more generous, would be the connection to how I spend this either honors the Lord or doesn't honor the Lord?
Right.
Yeah. And so that kind of begin to press into your life a little bit. So it really made you thoughtful about every expenditure or saving or whatever. That's an interesting thought, because I think once you make that connection, it does radically rearrange your view of your stuff.
Yes,
just to know that, because you know when you say bless the Lord, you know, not that we're giving him something he's lacking, we're saying blessing him and honoring him of giving glory to him. So when I'm willingly letting this thing flow out of my hand, I'm showing that I'm not bound by that. Like, I love the Lord, and you need help, so I'm willing to give that over to you. Along the way.
Well, there's a lot of things that are just practical.
Yeah.
That, you know, the Paul states it, that those who preach and teach among us are worthy of double honor. Mm. We're supposed to take care of that preacher. Yeah. We're okay, so we have a building. Well, we need to help in taking care of this building. We need to pay for things. If we want to have a place to go worship, it's just practical.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so you take care. You should be giving.
Right.
You know, eager, because you want to come and meet with your brethren here, so you want to have a place to come.
Right.
It's just practical.
Yeah.
That's what he wants. That's for him.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Right.
You're supposed to.
Which allows us to get the eyes off of ourselves.
Yeah, it's not about, it's about the other people. Hey, and we forget about the gifts we have that we're supposed to have for those other people.
Right, right.
You know.
Well, and you bring up a good point. It's not like, okay, so the principles of Proverbs. We know there's a lot of people who are not believers who do well wealthy, and because they manage well, they do well, they're applying these principles. And so, like, if we think about the work of the gospel in a man's heart, radically rearranges us. It softens us to the things of the Lord. It opens our eyes to others who bear the image of God. So we're radically being reworked from the inside. We are set up better than anybody to actually do the principles that God calls us to, because they do become very selfless. And that's a hard act, to be able to be selfless with all my stuff. Because when we think about Proverbs 4 in particular, the father setting the son up about, at the end of the day, this all is a heart issue. At the end of the day.
Yes.
So I think you're right, as even when we think about our journey, Lauren and I, like, there's shifts in how we've thought about our money as we grow and mature in our understanding of who God is. It's directly connected.
Yep.
And I would say generosity is deeply connected to the way we understand who God is, what I have, and how he created those around us, you know, or significant. Where do you think people go wrong with generosity? Any warnings or?
Well, the first thing is they think, I'm going to give, then God's going to reward me.
Ooh, good point.
You know, straight across, you know, right away.
Yeah.
How many times have I heard the testimony in other churches that we've been in, when the pastor's trying to do a thing on tithing and all these, you know, trying to get the finances of the church in order.
Right.
And he has people come up and give these testimonies of some supernatural event.
Yeah.
Which is what those preachers.
Yeah, health and wealth gospel.
They say it's supernatural.
Yeah, right.
When it never has been that way. Yeah, God's going to bless.
Mm-hmm.
But miracles, if you overcharge in your card to give to this guy, and then God's going to, no.
Yeah.
No, but it's the wrongness in that kind of stuff is
it's a good word.
It's horrible.
Yeah. And you think of people in a role of pastorally leading folks to put that burden on someone is just foolish. And that is a total misunderstanding of generosity.
I just wrote down one name here. I just got it. Right.
Well, we know health and wealth gospel. Kenneth Copeland.
Kenneth Copeland.
Benny Hinn.
He's the richest of them all, by the way. Yeah.
And we need to be careful of that, because I think it's wise for us as a church to protect one another and say that's not the motivation of generosity. Is to move God's hand in such a way he's supposed to do something for you. Because if you look at overcharging your car, well, that goes directly against other principles of Proverbs. So why would you take and go against God's word to try to get God? So it's so backwards, and we have to have our ears attuned to that. You know
that's where Dave Ramsey is so far ahead of the game.
Mm-hmm.
That you pay everything off because you want to please God.
Amen. Right.
You pay everything off, and then you develop your strategy with budget and accounting within your family, because this is for God.
Right.
This is for Jesus. Right. It's for his glory.
Right.
So you do this. So you end up giving. You the testimonies on his show or on his program, testimonies, people didn't realize how much they could give, but then they handled it correctly.
Right.
Like Paul told the Corinthians, you know, give out of your abundance, but don't give to get something back.
Yeah.
Give in even measure. So you can take care of yourself, but then you can help somebody else.
Yeah. Man, that's good. Gratefulness is a far greater motivator to generosity than trying to move or gain something from
the Lord. Yes, it's not that. It's never about gaining something back.
Yeah.
It's about them saying, thank you, God.
Yeah.
That they say, thank you for the help that you have given me to the our Father.
Yeah. When you think about all those little principles along the way, when you think about handling our wealth from budget, we're going to talk about self-control coming up Sunday, which is another thing that, is a hard issue when it comes to wealth, you know? And so getting all those in play, when you think of like a budget, there's nothing magical about it. It's just a practical tool to say, I want to handle this. I don't want it to be in control of me. I want to be in control of it, so therefore I can leverage it and do what God's called me to do, which is be generous.
Yes.
And so all those tools, though it's hard work, is well worth it, you know, in the end. But, well, brother, that's a helpful, good, wise, thoughtful word. So let's end with, what are some applications maybe you're seeing for you personally? Anything stand out from Sunday?
Just to think more about other people. I have a tendency to be very selfish. Yeah, you think, yeah. I'm not immune to that. Nobody is. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the thing that I just loved what he said, that these are not promises. Mm-hmm. Don't take everything as a promise from God.
Yeah.
But principles on how to handle your life and what to look for and what to do it so that you can please him. And he'll help your steps.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it.
Right.
He will do that because you're walking with him.
Mm-hmm.
But apply principles.
Yeah.
You know, think about him how you when you do go to do something.
Right.
When to go to buy something or spend something.
Yeah. And being just, thoughtful and wise. And I think that it becomes, as our heart is softened and matured to the things of the Lord, it naturally is going to begin to play itself out to where we are willingly adopting these principles of Scripture because we acknowledge that, well, I need to be self-controlled when I go to the store. I really want that item, but it's just not worth it in the end because the worth of my value is how I can be generous towards others, you know. So, which is a hard task.
I don't like getting cheap toilet paper.
There is, you can go too far here, you know? There's a difference, that's too funny. We don't want to, you know, overstep here, you know? There are some things we just got to spend money on. That's too funny. Well, brother, I'm grateful for your time and talking through such a difficult topic, but one that is necessary for the church. And if anyone should model good, healthy spending habits, it should be the church.
It should be.
And we should pave the way for that. So, well, brother, I appreciate you and thankful for you. And thank you for taking time to listen to this podcast and hope that it was beneficial to you. So, have a wonderful day. Grace and peace.
Thank you for listening to Beyond the Sermon podcast. Be sure to subscribe by searching Light in the Desert Church Sermons and Podcast on iTunes or Spotify. Check out our website at www.lightinthedesert.church.